was speaking of, and go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. We got a limited time, and so I'm going to try my best to move into Brother Justin Cooper speed and just be done. But I just wasn't built that way, but we do try to get out of here about 8 on Wednesday to get these kids home and back in bed for school. But 1 Kings chapter number 17, if you're there, say amen. If you feel like Jenny texted me today and said, "You are preaching tonight, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm preaching tonight." And she said, "Do you still know how? It's been so long. It seemed like it's been an eternity since I have preached." But if you'll remember back, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I preached a message on the subject, I believe out of Psalm 78, on can God, it was a Sunday morning, where the Israelites asked God, and really in a derogatory way, said, "God, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" What a silly question that was. Provocative. But then, maybe that night or a week later, I preached further down that vein on, can God use me? Can God use you? And we talked about the Apostle Paul and how if he could use Paul, formerly known as Saul, he can use you, and he can use me, and he can use anybody. Tonight, I want to go further in this series, and we won't get done with this message, but I want to begin a message in that same vein. Can God really meet your need? We all have needs. We may not announce them. We may not put them on Facebook or social media. We may just tonight during prayer requests, there were some needs that were not even spoken. They were needs that to the point that they were pressing so hard that somebody lifted their hand publicly and said, "I need prayer, but it's so serious, it's an unspoken." That's a need. There's a plethora of needs. There's physical needs, there's financial needs. Obviously, there's spiritual needs. And so the question is, can God meet your need? And with a resounding yes is the answer. God can meet your need. But I want to look at this scripture and see and go a little further with this thought. Can God meet your need? Verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I want you to catch this next part. This is amazing. This whole chapter is amazing, but this is, from a preacher's standpoint, when I read this, it always blows my mind. He said, And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." I'd say they were at their wits' end. Literally, that's where the saying, at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, they were fresh out. And what little bit of a last meal that they had. I want you to listen to what this preacher asked of this woman. And not just of this woman, but of her child. And by what I understand, what I heard Sunday night from a certain lady in our church, her husband's mama, liable to flog Elijah, had he asked for Brother Jeff's food, his mama liable to put it to him. I heard she loves her boy. That's right. Hey, I'm a mama's boy too. That's A-okay. If you don't love your mama, there's something wrong with you. That's right. So here's the situation. They out of food. They got one last meal. And he's done told her, "Go get me something to drink. Go get me a cake. Get me some food." And she tells him, "This is it. This is all we got. We're about to eat this and die." I'm talking about, can God meet your need? Listen, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if it's pride or whatever it is, but I have a hard time going to somebody, especially somebody that's worse off than me, and saying, "Give me what you got." But God told him to do it, and so he did it, and that took faith. Yeah. Amen. He said, "But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." I mean, that don't even sound polite. You talking about getting some people talking about the preacher? Did y'all hear what he did? We was down to our last little bit, and he said, "Make me first, then y'all get the scraps." And they wasn't no scraps. Yeah, could you imagine? That would have been on Facebook in a hurry. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Is that not amazing? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, we could stop right there, and that would just be absolutely jaw-dropping amazing, would it not? But it just gets way bigger than that. Read on. "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." He died. "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me. Here he is saying, give me. First is give me food. Give me water. Give me your last meal. Now, she watched her only child die. And rather than him embracing her and having pity on her and praying for her, he said, give me him too. You're talking about faith. I keep mentioning that word faith because if you want to know if God can meet your need, it requires faith to get it. We just had a whole missions conference about faith promise and about giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken, running over. So just keep that in mind. He said, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. I wonder why three. They just something about threes and then people that's dead getting up. What about that? So he stretched himself three times and as he lay upon him, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. We're just talking about, does God hear and answer prayer? Elijah prayed, and the Bible said, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And he wasn't hard of hearing. He heard exactly what he said. Elijah prayed that the boy's soul would come back into his body. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Is that not just a power-packed portion of the word of God? My goodness. First Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite. Listen, you need to get in this chapter and read it from time to time. When the devil gets you to doubting whether or not, and whispering in your ear, and you just filled out a faith promise card and put it in the offering plate, and we just heard missionaries from all over the world, and we were excited, and we were prayed up about, Lord, what you want me to give this year, and I'm pumped, and I'll give, and I'll give more, and I'll do more this year. And we have all them intentions. Me included. But guess what I've been dealing with all day after giving and doing more and trying to do my best? Insurance company calls and says, your insurance just went up on your car from $350 a month to $850 a month. I said, well, Lord, I'm trying to do right. I've just signed my faith promise card, Lord. I got four children, Lord, to feed. Amen. I ain't got $500 extra a month, Lord. You know. That's sort of what Elijah felt when he was praying. He said, when she come and said, he's dead. Have you come to call my sin out? I thought you was a man of God. I thought you come to help us and bless us. And I know the meal barrel's been growing, and I know we've been eating, but Now you come to call my sin out and bring evil upon me and have my son judged, and now he's dead, and Elijah's feeling the weight of this. And he lays down and cries out to God, and he almost repeats her claim and accusation to him, and he looks to God and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray thee let..." He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." Listen to the anguish. And the Lord heard the voice. Listen, Elijah cried to the Lord, said, "Oh Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slanders?" He's saying, "Lord, I come by here like you told me to do, but I wasn't expecting the bottom to fall out. I come by here to get a meal and to stay a day or two. And I asked first for her food, and she was so good to me to give it. She went and got me water. I mean, without asking, she told me how low they was, and I said, get it anyway, and she did it. And you gonna repay her by killing her son? Lord, this ain't adding up." And so he pleaded with the Lord. And I'm saying, in life, hear me. I know this has been thousands of years ago, but we all face the same kind of things in our life. Needs pop up. It may be, Brian, it may be a need come Friday morning that they give your daddy a better diagnosis than what they've been told. That's a need. That's something I know. You come, got an altar, men prayed Sunday night. And we begged the Lord, "Lord, touch him. God, Lord, we seen him take the tumor out of David just recently. So, Lord, we know you can, and it's a need, and we're serious, and we're asking." It may be like today, it may be a need to have Geico or State Farm or Allstate or come up, fill in the blank, some other insurance company that takes a liking to me. That's a need. I mean, if you don't think that's a need, you don't swap. Out of the blue, $500 a month, that ain't pocket change. That's a car payment. Yeah. Or it could be a need of a mama trying to get her life together and trying to raise her boys the best she can. And they don't know what to do, but she has the intuition and the desire. I feel like I just need to get them to church. That seems to be the right thing to do. So she brings them, sets them down on this pew, and they hear, "I seen him too." And they hear the gospel. And it's so powerful, and it's so anointed, and it's so Holy Ghost filled. And the gospel's the power of God unto salvation. And that eternal need, we in this room witnessed right here. One brother walked the aisle, said, "God, I have a need. I'm a sinner. I can't fix this. I got a need." And I almost heard God say, I'm a need meeting God. And God met that boy's need. And his brother was sitting back there saying, "I got the same need. I'm a sinner just like him. I was born just like him. And I've got a need." And ain't you glad? Oh, ain't you glad when you come to God? He said, "Whosoever will, let him come." Amen. He's a need meeting God. Can God meet your need? Oh, yes, he can. Can God get that baby from, how many months are you now? 8. Oh, you about there, honey. 3 more. If he can get you this far, he's going to get him on here. And another outlaw will explore planet Earth. Lord, help him, Jesus. Oh, dear heavens. keep him away from Murtis. I'm saying God can meet your need. That's one thing about every one of us. I may not know what your need is this evening, and I'm just getting to the introduction, but I'm telling you, this message is growing bigger and bigger in me, and we're going to be in this a while because it's just reality. It ain't just that you used to have a need. It's like you never graduate from needs. Though they be met, I had needs years ago, and thank the Lord, He met them. I had the needs your boys had. And I remember September 21st, 1991, I had that same need. I had a sin problem, and I needed forgiveness. I had a hell problem, and I needed God to take my hell and provide heaven to me. I needed that. He did. But Brother Ned, I found out, though I needed forgiveness, where's my mathematician? How many years ago has that been?
32
years ago. I had a need for forgiveness, Brother Jackie. You know what I found out? I had a need for forgiveness this morning. Getting saved didn't fix me. It fixed my soul. Made me heaven bound. Made me hell proof. Got my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that old sin nature didn't die. My flesh is still walking around, Brother Jacob. I still have a need. I still fail him, Brother Josh. I have a need. And ain't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Ain't you glad God didn't say, all right, I done forgave you and forgave you and forgave you, and I've had it up to here with you. Like we treat people. That's the last time I heard that today. Not toward me, I just overheard it in a conversation. That'll be the last time you do this to me or you got that. Listen to me. That's how a lot of times we treat people. Ain't you glad God, Brother Jeff, don't say that'd be the last time you ever ask me for forgiveness. No. Hallelujah. I ain't never went to Him, Brother Jimmy. Ever have I went to Him and said, Lord, I mean, I ain't talking about nonchalantly. I ain't talking about now I lay me down to sleep. No. I'm talking about when I get broken over my sin and I go lay before God and say, oh, Lord, I failed you again. Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to, but I did it again. God, I let my mouth get out of control again. And Lord, my thoughts got out of... And Lord, I allowed bitterness to get in me again. God, forgive me. And He's always met that need. He's faithful. If we confess our sin, He's faithful.
Amen.
To forgive us our sins. Ain't you glad? My goodness. So there's physical needs, financial needs. What about family needs? Oh, Brother Jacob, while y'all here, I guess I'll just go ahead and fix this all. I used to be your pastor. I guess I'll just give y'all some marriage counseling right while you're here for free. If y'all think y'all have had arguments up till now, wait till little boy gets here. The stress compounds exponentially. She'll take his side, and he'll take his side against you. I'm really messing, sorta. But I'm saying families have needs. If I, oh goodness, my time. Somebody will rewind that clock and let me start over. Listen, hey, listen. I'm really going to put my picture up there one day like I told you, and everybody look back there. Now, listen. There ain't a family in here. There ain't a marriage in here. Not a one of you. I don't care how good you look. I don't care how close you scrunched up to each other. Brother Jackie and Miss Anita, I believe with all my heart y'all love each other as much as any couple I've ever seen. I believe that. Mama, I mean this. You and the preacher love, I mean this. You loved him and he loved you as much as any two people I've ever seen in my entire life. Wasn't it? But did y'all ever have needs? Did y'all always get along? Tell the truth. You in church, God listen. Did y'all ever have disagreements? Of course you did. Of course you did. Now, I give you the glory first. I said you was the best ever. But be honest, y'all had disagreements. Y'all had needs. Brother Dennis, you and Cheryl, y'all ever had issues? I know y'all don't argue. But y'all ever had loud discussions? Yeah. We all do. Every couple. I mean, when the honeymoon's over, whoo, what's wrong? Nothing. Oh, that means something. Just talk. Just say it. Let's get it out on the table. Nothing wrong with me. Yeah, I'm saying, hey, I'm talking about marriages, but what about them rascals over there that we call kids and grandkids? I'm serious. I was joking around, but I'm serious. Everybody look up here at me. I'm going to be doing a lot of preaching about this soon. I'm working on it now. They're facing a dark, demonic world that we never grew up in. These gender movements, that these transgender and homosexuals and this push that they are, and that's just one part. That's just one little tool the devil's pushed, but it's a big one, and it's seductive, and it is. If every which angle the devil can get to them, they got needs. Hey, listen, I'm sincere and serious as I've ever been. That baby that y'all about to, that you about to give birth to, y'all ain't doing nothing. You about to give birth to, you just long for the ride. Hey, I'm serious. That baby boy is going to face a world that my little children are too. And it ain't like it was when we come up. It's darker. It's more dangerous. It's more devilish. And there's needs that they have. If you could just see, and the light could be turned on, of just the kids, the 30 or 40 kids that are over there in that building right now, and God was to just turn the light on and let you see the damage and the fighting and the vulgarity and all that's going on, the struggles from home and from school and from every part of their life that the depth, and God was to just let us see what they're all facing. We overlook that so much time. They just kids. No, they just kids that have huge needs. And they need to know there's a God in heaven that can meet their needs. But they need some mamas and some daddies that'll step up and stand up and speak out and get faithful to God and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to raise my children. And if my children's grown, I'm going to raise my grandchildren. And I'm going to see to it that they come up in an environment that they hear the Word of God, that they know they ain't facing this life alone. There's hope. Listen, the suicide rate among young people is going through the roof. I mean, these kids are dropping like flies on fentanyl and all the stuff they're facing. They need to know there's a God in heaven that can meet their need. Amen. That's right. I'm talking about family needs, financial needs, physical, spiritual. So what do we do when needs arise? I'm about done because I'm out of time, but just to close the introduction, what do I do? And what do you do when needs arise? Our natural reaction, be honest, when needs arise, tell me I ain't telling the truth, it's worry. It's right where we go. I mean, when something big. Now, I mentioned insurance payment going up. That's an issue, but that ain't nothing like getting a phone call. Because I remember getting a phone call, Brian, when my daddy told me, when I was in Georgia, my daddy called and said, "Son, I need you to come. My tongue swollen up so bad I can't talk. And I need to talk to you." I went to his house down there, tongue that big around. And I remember that day like it's yesterday. And for the first time in my life, I remember thinking, my daddy might not live. Boy, that's a big need. It hits home. And I'm not minimizing financial issues at all. I'm not minimizing family issues, but I'm saying there's some needs that are bigger than others. Amen. And I heard it in your voice, I seen it in your eye. That's a need you got, and your mama's got, and your daddy's got. And I'm telling you, Brian, there's a God in heaven who can. And I ain't even talking about in the verbiage of, oh, he could. And he might. No, we need to get past, we got a God who could and would and might and maybe, and say, we got a God not that could or would, but a God that can and will meet the need. I know he can. Now, I mentioned this earlier, and I use this word so many times, and when we get into this, I'm going to prove it to you. You know what got God to move and got God to show and got God to raise the dead and to put food where they wasn't food and just make it keep multiplying? You know what got that to happen? Getting past worry into the realm of faith. Saying, "Lord, I ain't worrying about this no more. There ain't nothing I can do about it, so why worry? I'm just going to believe you can." Because to be honest, Brian, I can't fix you, Daddy, and you can't. And to be honest, Raymond, I can't fix my insurance problem. I can't. So why worry? What good is it going to do me as a Christian to worry about my need? Amen. Worry ain't of the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a news alert tonight. This ain't popular, but I can back it up with the Bible. Worry is a sin. Find me one verse in the Bible, one, that supports your theory that worry is not a sin. And I'll give you 20 to 1 that tells you, God tells us over and over, anything that's not of faith is what?
Sin.
What's the opposite of faith? Worry. What is worry? It's the lack of faith. Because if you had faith and I had faith in God, there's no need to worry. But our first natural instinct, Brother Jeff, our first reaction is when we get the bad news, it's, oh my goodness, what? Oh no, what? And our mind goes. And it's a proven fact. 85 to 90% of things we worry about never come to pass. That's a fact. And that's what I'm going to be preaching about. We got to get past that natural instinct and first reaction. We got to listen. When we got a need, and I close with this. I went longer than I hardly ever do on Wednesday. I close with this statement. Mama, I heard Preacher Kerrigan make this statement in a different context, but the truth of it fits. We got to learn how to stop reacting to our need and learn to respond in faith to our need. Don't react, respond. That'll fix your marriage. She says something, don't react, respond. Reaction is like, "What'd you say?" Responding is like, "Yes, dear. Whatever you say, dear. I love you too. You're always right." Stinking liar. Oh, did that come out? I forgot my microphone was right there. No, but I'm sincere. With God, we got to learn to respond in faith, saying, "God, you can. This is my need." And I'm going to show it to you. That water problem he had at the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, God had already provided the need. You know where he told him to go? To the brook. What? What's the brook called? Cherith. Could I just tell you what the word Cherith means? Traced. God sent him to the traced brook. Before the world began, God traced right out and told Elijah right where to go. God was orchestrating his problem to cause him to have a need, to prove to him when he enacted his faith that he was a God that could meet his needs. There had never in the Bible, search it out, never had anybody been resurrected or raised from the dead. This is the first time. Elijah didn't even know what that meant. But he responded in faith. He prayed like you pray. And I've learned to pray, and I do pray like you pray because I heard you pray this way, and it's so effective and biblical. You close your prayer saying, in Jesus' name we pray,
believing.
Amen. About every prayer I pray now, because I heard Brother Nee and he taught me without even knowing he was teaching me. I pray believing.
Amen.
What's the Bible say about somebody sick? I told you this in the truck. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. A faithless prayer won't do nothing. But a believing prayer, a prayer full of faith, I'm going to prove it. It'll raise the dead. You do believe the Bible, don't you? Amen. Amen. That's all the time. That's more time than we had. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, Lord. Help us, I pray, to whet the appetite, Lord God, of our people, Lord, as it did me, God, to show us. Oh, God, remind us, Lord, as if we needed reminding. God, we have needs. All of us do, Lord. But, oh, God, as we ask the question, can God meet my need? I pray you've whet our appetite tonight, Lord, to prove to us, and as we go deeper, God, that you'll put an exclamation point on the fact, yes, Lord, you can meet our needs, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go get your kids quick, please. Thank you. I think that there's a few-minute men's meeting in the choir room. If you're a member of Morning Star Baptist Church, and you're a man, meet in the choir room. Thank you.